Welcome back to Cocktails and Classics. I'm Dylan. Joining me as always are Ben, Zach, and Cam. And April's over. We're moving on to Seven by David Fincher. 1995 crime drama thriller. To kick things off and get everybody in the right mood, we're going to go to this week's cocktail. Movie focused on death, you know, murder. They're detectives. So why not do kind of like a... To me, this movie is definitely like a classic crime movie. So we're going to do a classic cocktail. One of Ernest Hemingway's favorites, The Death in the Afternoon. It's very simple. You guys like simple cocktails. How about 1.5 ounces of absinthe and 4.5 ounces of chilled champagne?
Hell yeah.
Nice and easy.
When you mix them together, it gets like this cloudy, like opaque drink. Because I was telling Ben earlier, I guess there's a science to it, that the aromatic compounds in absinthe are more soluble in alcohol than water. So when the absinthe is diluted, those compounds drop out of solution, crowd together. What we see is a cloudiness. This is also notable in the like absinthe drip, where you drip it through like into a water. Or I think you pour absinthe and then you drip the water through the sugar cube. You know what I'm talking about? The classic way you prepare it.
Yes. You can tell the only way I've ever had absinthe, right, guys?
Yeah.
Check the show notes below. Get yourself some absinthe and some chilled champagne. Well, you have to chill the champagne yourself, sorry. But use the Drizzly and Cash Girl links to get that absinthe and champagne delivered directly to your door. We get a little kickback from it. You get alcohol. So what's not to love? Make a Death in the Afternoon and let us know what you think at Cocktails and Classics Pod on Instagram. Send us a picture. And you can check out Seven on HBO Max as of recording. This movie's always hard to like find, I feel like, because it's like, I feel like the title on IMDb and everywhere is like S-E, the character for Seven.
Yeah, but if you search Seven, it usually pops up, I think.
It did. Okay. It did for me.
It did for me when I turned, when I like did, because I did the voice, like Seven, on the HBO app, and it showed up.
Okay. Seven is a 1995 crime drama. IMDb says mystery. I feel like it's more of a thriller.
It's a mystery. You don't know who did it until three-quarters of the way through it.
You don't really get, though. You don't get a lot of, like, suspect. You know what I mean? Like, there's not, like, a ton of mystery in terms of, like, here's four suspects and we're going to figure out who did it. It's more like, hey, here's this killer. We don't know who it, oh, surprise! It's actual bad guy Kevin Spacey.
It's guys are so say.
Yeah, there's not much deduction. Like, I say a detective movie, but it's not really like they're deducing anything. It's not like a noir film in that sense. Because, like, they do get a few of the answers, but Kevin Spacey, and he points it out in the movie, turns himself in at the end of the movie. It's would you have ever caught me?
Part of that is that they kind of threw him off. You know, like, they threw him off his game because they
rushed him.
Illegally used FBI spy tactics to basically try and find his apartment. You know.
Illegally, I guess.
What do you mean, I guess?
Well, the Patriot Act didn't exist yet, Dylan, so it was illegal at the time.
That's true. It's always funny. Like, don't get me wrong. I like the crime drama series, and I like these types of movies a lot. But it is funny that these movies kind of normalize cops going outside of the system to find the bad guy. You know, they're like, yeah, if we just do this thing that's definitely not legal, we're gonna do it anyway. We'll find the bad guy and catch him.
People love a hero.
I feel like that happens a lot.
I mean, I guess here's my question. How is that illegal? I mean, the public library system and the books that you've rented, how is that an illegal forms of...
Well, they like, feed it to the government. I mean, it's basically... Well,
who do you think funds the libraries?
Okay, the government, I know. But I'm saying, like... This is an interesting conversation, because I imagine...
It's like an NSA thing. Like,
because you're sharing receipts, baby.
Right, but I'm just saying, if we were to go back to 1995 and have this conversation, I feel like you wouldn't think that. I feel like you'd be like, yeah, of course that's illegal.
I guess.
Why would they do that? Why would the government be tracking our library purchases?
I hope you're not buying stuff from the library, but...
You know, but we just live in, like, the post-9/11 world. We just live in a totally different environment, you know? Like, that doesn't even sound that bad.
Like, it's kind of normalized.
Yeah, that doesn't even sound that bad. Like, like, oh yeah, you know, them reading library records, that's not that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. Nowadays it's like, oh, we went through all of your text messages that you've ever sent. Oh. Okay.
Your entire right. search history.
I kind
of didn't
feel...
want to just look at my library books. Like, can we do that?
I kind of feel like the FBI should just look at who's a regular visitor of the libraries nowadays and probably just arrest them for something creepy, you know?
Oh, no.
Doesn't matter what they're reading. We just know it's not right.
Yeah, who's going to the library and checking out multiple books, you know?
People who like to read and not pay for books? I don't know.
Psychos!
I guess here's a question. Would it be... Do you think it would be more... I guess, accepted in your eyes if they made it publicly available? Well, I guess, I don't know. That might be actually more fucked up.
On the blockchain.
No, I was thinking, like, if they made publicly available what information they had on you, like, what, like, the database
if you could,
they
like,
have on camera.
It.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess you can. The Freedom of Information Act. Is
you
that
could. I think you.
Account for
I don't know. I think there might be some things you can request. I know you can do that for private companies, like you, which is, again, fucked up I'm even saying this in this age. But, you know, like Google, you can request all the data Google or Facebook have on you, and they'll tell you. I don't know if the same is true of the government. Maybe, you know, maybe they don't have anything, but once you ask if you have something, they definitely will have something on you now, you know?
I'm calling their bluff. You have information on me.
They'd be like, no, but we're starting today.
All in. No, but should we?
You're right, yeah.
Shit, he's on to us.
Seven was directed by David Fincher, written by Andrew Kevin Walker, stars Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt,
wow.
Kevin Brad Spacey. Pitt.
Tell us how good you really Pitt. Feel.
More like good Paltrow. Pitt, am I right?
Arlie Army's in there.
Yep, and, Arlie Army plays the chief.
I feel
he
like
plays
the, other...
the only role he can play in this movie.
Yeah, I guess.
The coroner is in a lot of stuff. I can't remember.
Yeah, he was in The Wire.
Yeah, he's in
as
The Wire.
A coroner?
I feel like he's in a lot of stuff.
No, he plays a detective.
The dude from Scrubs.
John C. McGinley.
John C. McGinley. Yes, he plays the SWAT officer.
California.
I was going to say, like, he has a name, and then it's said like once, I feel like, right at the end of the movie when he's in the helicopter. He's like, don't come in here. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that... I crazy. So talking about the guy who plays the coroner, who is also on The Wire, Reg E. Kathy, also paired up, well, I guess more than paired, teamed up with Kevin Spacey and David Fincher on House of Cards. He played Reggie. The barbecue.
Yeah,
which David Fincher was a producer on, and obviously Kevin Spacey started
Man.
Until we
well he was also
them.
I think he created
the series I think he did create that the series was going downhill at that point, you know. I mean, it was really good. It was House of Cards was really, really good until it wasn't.
I don't think these celebrities want to be known as having been teamed up with Kevin Spacey.
No. I think the other thing that I found kind of interesting, I started to note the like super 90s intro to the movie. And I was like, this sounds like Nine Inch Nails, and then
it is.
Turns out to be Nine Inch Nails.
Yeah.
But Trent Reznor later teams up with David Fincher
Kevin Spacey?
And has scored.
Oh.
And has scored, I think, his last like four or five.
Trent Reznor's done a lot of movie scores, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think his first one was Gone Girl with David Fincher. But I found that little tidbit kind of interesting. Seven is the story of two detectives, a rookie and a veteran. They're kind of like the rookie, Brad Pitt's character, is taking over for the veteran who's retiring. Hunt a serial killer who uses the seven deadly sins as his motives. Currently sits at an 8.6 out of 10 on IMDb. It's the number 19 top-rated movie on the IMDb Top 250. It was nominated for one Oscar, Best Film Editing.
That's crazy to me.
I feel like that's most movies on the... Like, was Fight Club nominated for anything? Because I feel
know.
Like that movie is heavily beloved, super high on the... I think it's number 9 or 10 on the Top 250.
Yeah.
And
it's
like...
up there.
I feel like a lot of movies that people love aren't always... like highly regarded Academy. With the Academy.
Yeah. I mean, the only reason Dark Knight was because of Heath Ledger. You know? Well,
it also got Best Picture nominated. It was the reason Best Picture was spread into nine nominees now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but how much of that had to do...
Fight Club was nominated for Best Effects.
What was?
Fight Club.
Oh, okay.
But at least...
But I feel like part of Batman being nominated was Heath Ledger in it. You know? Yeah,
I guess. I mean, it definitely generated a lot more buzz for the movie. As much as people don't like to admit it, but it did.
I mean, it certainly had an impact. I don't think he wins that award if he didn't die that year. I mean, again, not that
Robert Downey Jr. would have won it.
For what?
Tropic Thunder.
Oh my God. I'm not saying he didn't deserve it, but it does feel like, you know, him passing away, unfortunately, did have an impact.
Yeah, that's that, like, posthumous,
yeah,
little boost you get. I had seen this film. Had it, Zach, I think we were super surprised last week when you hadn't seen it. That kind of right. forced us to do this. And then Cam, you haven't seen it, but you saw The Watch Mojo.
No, it's okay.
He Googled it one day. He heard a guy asking a question. He Googled the answer.
No. Hey, so
what is in the box?
Hey, Siri, what's in the box?
No, so I think this movie is just one of those where... The ending is just so pervasive in pop culture. The end is referenced by so many things. Like who here hasn't heard the quote "What's in the box?" You know, like everybody knows what that is. Well, okay, yes, I'm saying like before you saw this movie, like everybody has heard that, you know, in whatever medium, you know. And it's hard to not know. I'm surprised you didn't know how it ended, because I feel like that's, again, like, another thing.
I've been avoiding that for 27 years.
I was like, saying, when you said that you didn't know, I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like this movie is referenced everywhere so often that, like, I was like, how do you not know?
I think the other thing is Zach, did you know the location of the end of the movie? Because I feel like the high wire, like, end of the movie is, like, the most iconic movie location.
Yeah, that's when I knew the What's in the Box was coming. I've seen the video, and it looks like it takes place in like a desert electric place. So when I saw that in Brad Pitt, I'm like, all right, here it comes. I'm going to know what's in the box.
It's his wife's head.
It's interesting watching it like now, and you know it and stuff, and you're like,
yeah,
how like ham-fisted they are a little bit with it. Like Kevin Spacey's like, I can't wait for you to see this.
Yeah, I feel like they're leading up to it so hard. They're leading up to it so hard going in. It feels obvious in hindsight, yeah.
Like, how did I not know?
Like, he's, like, dropping hints the entire car ride and, like, basically taunting him even though he doesn't know it, you know?
Yeah, I will say the scene where they are out and Kevin Spacey's, you know, we as the audience has found out what's going on. Because Morgan Freeman's opened the box and kind of freaked out about it. But when Kevin Spacey's just like taunting him and says like the you know, she pleaded for her life and the life of the baby inside her and Brad Pitt's face. I was telling Dylan before we started, like, waiting any minute now for my son to be here. Like, that shit hit hard.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, it's not, I'm sure it's not going to, like, I know it's coming. And then it happens. And I was like, oh my God damn, that is hard to, that's hard to hear. It's hard to experience that. Like knowing, like, that's basically every parent or expecting parents, like, worst fear is to hear something happened. And like, to hear that was just like, oh my God. It's like getting punched in the nuts. I was like, oh God, I don't know if I can keep watching this. Thank God it's the end.
And also the fact that he had to process all of that. Like, he didn't know either, right? So it's like...
No, he literally didn't know.
He had to process
she was pregnant.
His wife died and he was going to have a child, but he's not having a child because this guy in front of him murdered his wife and also his future child.
Yeah.
I know that the good ending would have been him not to shoot Kevin Spacey in the face, but I don't know.
We can all just thank God he shot Kevin Spacey in the face. Because I'll be honest, like, at that moment, like, as he's wavering, there were times where I'm just like, fuck it, do it. Like, no, any jury that hears what just happened is going to give you some sort of leniency. They're going to be right. Like, I would have done the same thing. I don't know that we can convict him because I would have done the same thing. I think any normal person would have done the same thing.
I forgot how, like, fucked up this movie gets towards, like, the end.
Yeah.
I had totally, I blacked out, maybe been too young when I watched this movie. The lust scene. Where,
oh, yeah.
Where they, like, are like, oh, yeah, he made me wear this, and, like, I had to have sex with her, and it was, like, a strap-on with, like, a blade on the end.
Yeah, it was, like, a knife was, thing, like, yeah.
The fuck? Like, I don't remember this part.
Yeah, it's messed
I
up.
I forgot about the part, like, I remember that it had happened, like, the part where he frames the guy. The guy that he's been keeping alive for,
oh yeah,
like, a year. But I forgot when you find him and, like, he wakes up. Like, just how fucking haunting it was. Like, goddamn. Like, this dude, literally, I don't think, if he doesn't turn himself in, he never gets caught.
Yeah. Like, he's got all those, like, air fresheners in that room, too, to, like, keep the stench.
To mask the smell.
At bay.
Yeah.
It's the best tenant they've ever had. Pays on time every month. Doesn't complain.
Pays on time every month. I never hear from him or about him. Like, ah, yeah.
Turns out he's just chained to a bed.
No tongue.
And a mummy.
I was chained to a bed once.
And, okay.
I don't know that I want to even hear the rest of what
would you like to elaborate beyond that? Or?
Well, you guys were there.
It was to it was to stop him from transforming.
No, none of them were there, I don't think, actually.
It was
I was chained to the bed,
room.
Too.
They chained us to a metal bed.
Oh.
Yeah, I went to an escape room, and they, like, blindfolded us or something and brought us in and they literally handcuffed us all to this metal bed frame.
Interesting.
Like, all right, good luck, and then they left the room.
Hey,
also, it was in the
how dump. You guys spend your free time is up to you.
I mean, it was fun, right?
Yeah, especially the first part.
All right.
One of the things I noticed, I don't know if anyone else noticed this, is during the scene where they first get Kevin Spacey in there and they start to interrogate him, or he's talking to the lawyer, sorry, and they're on the other side of the glass. The scene looks very rough because you can see. Like their outline is like slightly illuminated, so you can tell that it's like on a green screen.
And, oh, like, I
Kevin,
didn't notice
the part with Kevin Spacey is inside, like shot separately.
Oh, I didn't know that actually. I didn't notice.
I didn't either.
Did anyone notice how homophobic Mills was throughout the entire movie?
Oh,
yeah, he was like 90s cool guy.
Yeah, he's like, oh, we can't be on the same side of the table because I think we're on a date. Okay.
Like, he talks about that. He talks about getting fucked. Like,
he drops a good F-bomb or two.
Yeah, he drops some homophobic slurs.
Oh, yeah, talking about Dante.
Yeah.
And
all right, dude.
He also says the R word.
Hard.
That's true.
He 90s also,
cool guy. He had a leather jacket.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, man, like, what is going on? It just felt so weird. Out of place at times. Like,
he was
really?
Too focused on the subject.
Well, I think part of the thing is that he's like a small town
guy. He is, yeah. And he forced his wife to move to the big city so he could be a detective in the big city.
To L.A., the big city.
Is it in L.A.?
I believe it is L.A.
They never say it in the movie.
Specify. They never say.
They allude
they
to
say,
it being,
but, like,
they allude to it being New York, yeah. But then they're out in the desert, and people were like, you can't be in New York, you're in the fucking desert.
Yeah.
And it took you like a half hour to get here. And then there was like, then basically it came out and they were like, oh, it's never actually confirmed where the movie takes place. It's like, okay, so.
You're not familiar with the Maryland desert?
Yeah, the desert's Philadelphia.
You not heard of the great New Jersey desert?
May as well be, am I right? Ayo.
But it's.
I have no opinion towards New Jerseyans. I don't care.
Canada's just had to go on the record. Low-hanging fruit.
Right. Yeah, just had to go on the record. I don't care. There's a funny joke about New Jersey's
like, everyone else in the world shits on us, but right, Cameron. Come on, bring it.
Yeah, I didn't know Gwyneth Paltrow was in this movie.
Yeah, the egg lady.
The goop lady.
This box smells like my vagina.
Oh, God.
What a turn. What a turn for someone. Like, pretty decent actress into fake health.
Was she decent? Shit. What was she decent in?
This movie?
You think she's decent? I think she's fine.
Iron Man? She's whatever as Pepper Potts?
I mean, but like, is she a good actress? I don't know.
I said decent. I've never been like,
very good.
I've never been like,
know.
Damn, I hate this movie because Gwyneth Paltrow's in it.
Well, no. Well, maybe now, but yeah, no.
Well, maybe now, but
maybe not back then. Before Goop and whatever the fucking.
Yeah, I don't.
She's basically Joe Rogan for girls, you know.
Yeah.
Why are you giving me the side eye?
Yeah, I was gonna. I mean, she doesn't have crazy right wing views, does she?
Well, no, but she
has
tries
crazy
to
left wing views.
She's like Alex Jones if you're talking about peddling like her fucking health.
No, Rogan does that too. He peddles all that random bullshit on his podcast.
Oh,
and
yeah.
His site.
My dick pills. Come get some dick pills.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, buy these fucking protein shits. You know,
protein shits. You're not doing a good job of selling. Cam's not doing any more commercials from here on out for us.
Come buy the protein shits.
Only Ben and Zach. Only Ben and Zach commercials from here on out.
Hell yeah!
That turned out wonderfully last time.
Have you guys heard of this thing called vagina candles?
Oh my god!
It's where you can make a podcast and smell like.
Because was she the one that also did that? Like, didn't she try to live on like a super low budget for a bit?
And
was that her?
I don't remember. I think that was her.
She's like, I'm gonna live on like a very small amount of budget, and then I think it didn't last very long.
Well, probably because she realized she couldn't afford her own fucking products.
Right. Also, yeah, I don't know. She just,
I'm living on a budget. Holy shit, this goop stuff is expensive. Yeah.
How about that, Gwyneth?
Yeah, take that.
Come on the pod and defend yourself.
You won't. I also won't attack you if you're on the podcast because I would like to have you back as a guest again.
I'll rescind all my comments right now.
Because I'm not an asshole.
Another thing I thought was weird is, so at the top of the billing list, you have Morgan Freeman, Brad Pitt, Kevin Spacey. Makes sense, sure. The fourth person is Andrew Kevin Walker, who played Dead Man at First Crime Scene.
He is like credited first on the credits
list. Yeah, like if you look at on the credits, I think he's literally behind those three, like in the credits list. And then you have Detective Taylor at the first crime scene, and then Gwyneth Paltrow, which is odd.
It's interesting because in the movie, in the opening credits of the movie, Kevin Spacey isn't listed.
Right. Well, they did that intentionally. Yeah.
Yeah, they wanted it to be a surprise. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of surprised that Arlie Ermey wasn't near the top there.
Oh, you know what I think they did? Is they put the three big guys at the top, and then they just went order of appearance.
I guess? But was Gwyneth Paltrow not
she wasn't in it
name back then?
No, I don't think so.
Well, no, but
so.
She... Yeah, no, you don't think so? Okay.
No, I don't think she had done a heck of a lot at that point.
Pre-95, we have...
She was in Shakespeare in Love in 98.
But that's after.
Okay, that was after this movie.
I know.
She was young Wendy in Hook.
Ooh.
And that's like the only movie that I know of on this list.
Yeah, that's true. Before this, there's not much.
Yeah,
but then,
I mean.
She's Emma in Emma.
She lasted 4 days on the Snap Challenge, which is.
Oh, that's what it was?
To live off of $4 a day.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's just so funny. It's like, oh, I appreciate what these people go through. No, because you went back to your cushy, you know, Manhattan loft or whatever. And like, fuck off.
Did anybody else think that Tracy was going to try to hook up with Somerset?
Yeah, for sure.
That was the major vibe I got. And then she
called
him.
That's what it felt like.
Like, I need you to meet me somewhere. Then they end up at a diner, and I'm like, oh my God.
I thought that too. I was like, wait, what the hell is this?
No, she's
why did she call him
comfort
and invite him over to dinner? Because she was being weird before
it's
that.
It's a partner.
So that makes sense, but they were getting along too friendly at dinner, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, she was laughing a little too long at his.
Don't
not
worry,
even a joke,
I'm not going to wear it to dinner.
Yeah. I don't know. I thought the same vibe. I mean, obviously, that's not where it went, but I thought that was the same thing, yeah.
Did anyone think Brad Kitt... Brad Kitt? Dude, I don't know why...
Jesus
Christ!
You cannot get this guy's fucking name right.
You're just...
Shark. Short. Shriek.
Shrimp.
Bad Shrimp.
Did anyone else think Brap Bat...
Bad Kits?
Did anyone Brett else Pad think that Brad Pitt's acting in the police car was a little rough? Like, I just think when he was kind of like taunting Kevin Spacey in the cruiser, it was like just felt a little forced. I
think
know.
So.
There are times where in watching this movie that Brad Pitt's performance doesn't wow me.
And it was just weird too, because I guess because how the camera set up is kind of like looking right at him, and he kind of like looks at you because you're in the spot of where the partner would be. So it just kind of feels like super weird that whole exchange. I mean, like, granted, I think he does a great job at the end. Like,
yeah.
Once he's like showing his emotion and stuff, I'm like, damn. But and even in the police cruiser, once he gets on to Kevin Spacey, because Kevin Spacey's like, you would never caught me. I saved your life. You have to think of every day of your life that I spared you. Like, oh yeah. Shit.
Every day of your life that I let you live. Oh, damn.
Yeah, I think he was trying to play it. I think he was trying to play it over the top and cocky on purpose. I'm not saying like he did it super well, but I think it was kind of like, haha, we caught you. We have you in our squad car. We got you, you know, and he's like being like kind of like pompous and cocky about it. Obviously, in retrospect, not a great look, but you know.
So is Wrath Kevin Spacey?
What?
No, Brad Pitt is.
No. So, yeah, the murder of Gwyneth Paltrow's character was Kevin Spacey murdering her because he was envious.
Yeah.
Right.
And then Kevin Spacey's death was because of Wrath.
Wrath.
It is weird that he's doing all of these like killings, and then he kills. I'm trying to think, because what's the first? The first victim is
gluttony, then greed.
It's gluttony's the big guy. Greed is the lawyer.
The lawyer. Yeah.
Sloth is the dude who's like still alive. Pride was the girl. Who was like the picture?
The vein,
like cut her nose off.
Yeah.
Lust is the prostitute.
The prostitute,
and then envy, and then wrath.
So, but that's the thing is, like, he kills all of these other people for these sins, but he kills Gwyneth Paltrow because he is the sinner.
The logic was definitely kind of shaky there for sure.
Yeah,
that's what I was. Yeah, I think it. Yeah, because you're right. Because he kills those other people because they embody. The sin,
yeah.
But she doesn't. He is the one that is envious.
Yeah.
And then furthermore,
he doesn't.
Brad
kill
Pitt is
wrath.
The one that
he's
embodies
killed
wrath.
By wrath.
Yeah. His logic's a little shaky. I think if you
Although,
want to explain
you know, to
that,
be expected you... due to the fact that he's kind of you got to assume he's got to be a psychopath, right?
Yeah, of course. But I
well,
think
he
part
was in
of
audible
that...
mode.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think part of that is just kind of he was freewheeling it at that point because he had been kind of caught, you know, and he was just kind of like, what the fuck am I, like, what am I going to do now, you know?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Oh, how am I going to have time to stalk and find someone guilty of envy?
How am I going to take a year to murder this person?
Yeah, it does seem kind of strange. It took a whole year and then, yeah, it kind of all unwound and fell apart within a matter of a couple days.
because you borrowed some library books.
Right. Also, like, go to a bookstore and pay cash. You know, like, what if they if he had just done that, I feel like they wouldn't have caught him at all.
Yeah, and the fact that I will say it's the one thing that, like, I want to know more about his background of how he was just independently wealthy enough to do all of this shit.
We need a six.
They're just like, all we know about him is that he doesn't have any fingerprints, he's well-educated, and he's independently wealthy.
Right. Like, from what?
From what?
Does this dude have a fucking makeshift counterfeit clothing store in LA or something? Like, where is this wealth coming from?
Zach, I don't know if you can get a six, because six is kind of afraid of seven.
Why? Why?
Why? Tell me why. You guys thought my jokes were bad with the last episode. I just want you to acknowledge what just happened.
The thing that always gets me in movies, one thing I like hate is in this one, it was the like he gets in the taxi and the taxi driver's like, "Where are you headed?" Far away from here. Okay, cool.
Yeah. I want to see the next 5 minutes of that scene.
When he said that, I was like, where is that? Where are you going? That's not helpful. As a taxi driver, that is not helpful.
Yeah, taxi driver's just driver's pissed. Taxi driver's just going to be like, I know a great little trailer out in the middle of the desert.
It's like in movies where it's like, yeah, where are you going? Home. Where the fuck is home?
Home. Way to let the random strange taxi driver know where you live.
Oh, man. Speaking of that trailer, did anybody think it was weird that the helicopter dude is like, yep, it's all clear, absolutely zero chance of an ambush, pan down to a trailer that could be full of people?
Yeah.
It's fine, they did a threat assessment. They did an ocular pat down of the trailer, it's fine.
This is the part of the show where Zach takes over and does trivia. Hopefully it's not just what read from the IMDb trivia section, but Zach, what do you got for us on seven?
Question number one. Which of the victims of John Doe's seven deadly sins was the first victim? A, greed, B, gluttony, or C, sloth?
Well, it's sloth, right? I think it's sloth. C.
Describe victim to me.
Becomes a victim.
Becomes a victim.
Right.
Is victimized. Has the victim... Yeah, becomes a victim.
Becomes a victim, answer sloth, for sure, I think. Unless there's something I'm missing.
If
right?
I mean, I would imagine it would have to be sloth, because it's been
a year.
Say something about it being a year.
It was a year prior.
And I think... all of the gluttony stuff happened fairly quickly, right?
Oh, yeah, it was all in a week.
Yeah, because they
foie gras his ass.
Yeah.
And they found the dead guy.
Because of the smell.
They're not exactly clear on that timeline, but I think they made it very clear that he had been doing he had been torturing that one guy for a whole year.
I'm glad Zach got my foie gras joke.
It was good. I got it. Got it.
Good foie gras.
Yeah. I'm going to go with everyone else. I think it's sloth because it said a year to the day.
It was. I thought I was going to trip you up on that, but we just got done talking about it.
We did. All right, cool. I think we would have gotten it anyway.
Anywho, how many years has William Somerset been a police officer?
8,000.
24. That's a lot. B, 28. Or C, 34.
I mean, seems like it would be 34, right? I don't know. I mean, how long? Police officer or detective? They probably don't differentiate. I think you said police officer, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to say 34.
What was it, 24? 28,
34? 24, 28, 34.
I guess we kind of have to, like... I feel like it's clearly said, but then now I'm trying to, like, assume how old Morgan Freeman's character is to like be like, do I think he would have worked 34 years? Or I don't think it's 34. I think it's 24.
Saying 34 for two reasons.
Shit.
One, I
he
feel
says
like
it in the movie.
He's no, I feel like he's been like, it's been talked about that he's talked about retiring before, and he hasn't, which makes me think that he has his 30 years in. I feel like that's normally like
the fuck's putting in 30 years.
I mean, a lot of like, if he started when he was 25, he'd be 55 retirement. Like, I don't know. I feel like that's kind of like a commonish thing. Also, it's the only number that Zach gave us that's not divisible by 7. No, that's not true. Fuck, never mind. Cut that part out. Cut that part out. Sounded, I just realized.
That sounded really cool for like a split second.
Maybe it's 28 because it is divisible by 7. Shit. No, I think it's 34.
It is 34. He says it nice. On the way to go raid, who is eventually known to be Sloth.
He says in 34 years, I've only pulled a gun, I've only pulled the gun with intention to shoot once.
But he didn't.
Right. But he didn't.
Which I thought was foreshadowing for him, like, freezing up at the end of the movie. But, anywho. Question number 3. Oh, this one will be good. Because it's Ben and Cam. How many 35mm reels does 7 take up?
I'm still in it.
You're not in it.
No, you're not.
I'm 2-0, bud.
I guess they could both get it wrong. Oh, shit.
Actually, get it right, Dylan's 1-1, yeah.
Nah, bro. You suck.
Okay.
No. You suck.
How many 35mm reels does 7 take up?
A, fuck. Dylan knows 5,
B, 7, or C, 9?
He's got this tattooed across his chest.
He got an NFT barcode tattooed on him with the answer to this question.
Too bad I don't have a barcode scanner. No.
Should have done never QR know code.
The answer to the question.
Man, I don't even know. I mean, I guess I'll go. All the answers have been on the higher end. At least the last one was. I want to go 7, but I'm not sure. I guess I'll go 7 because it's the movie title 7. That'd be pretty hot if it was also the amount of film reels it took up.
I have no fucking idea, and to be honest, I feel like I want to pick I like the 7 because of the film, but I'm going to go with 5.
I do think it's 5 reels.
Well, that would be silly if it was, because it's 7.
Hmm. Yes!
Wow.
Let's go! The trivia gods have smiled upon me today.
Cameron goes up one additional slot. Can you say the same, brothers? Trivia sheet.
Two of us had seen this film before, so you're going to get 2 nostalgia ratings and then an updated, and you're going to get 2 fresh ratings from these 2 goobs. So which goob wants to go first?
You know which goob is going first. The same one that goes first every week.
Yeah, but this other goob didn't watch the Watch Mojo, so you have slightly more knowledge than the other goob.
Knowledge. Oh my god.
Anyway.
It's the secret sauce.
Sauce. This is a really good movie. I like these types of movies. I like crime dramas in general. I know it's not technically that, I guess. Crime. But
crime.
These are good. I like mysteries. It's a fun time. Obviously the content is can get very dark, but I think all the people acting in the movie do a very good job. I don't have a ton negative to say about it. It kind of sucks knowing. I mean, again, like, it's just the ending is so prolific in pop culture that it's hard to avoid having any clue of how this movie ends, which I feel like if you're watching this movie for the first time in like 95, I imagine the end kind of like blew your mind a little bit. I'm going to give it a 9 out of 10. I thought it was great. Yeah, that's the thing. It is very much like that. It's like, if we all know the end of that, or at least like, you know, the big twist. And I feel like it's a little bit cheapened, but in this movie, I feel like it's not as big of a deal. Like, sure, you kind of know where it's going, but you have no idea how it's going to get there. And I think that makes it really good.
To tie this to another Watch Mojo you watched, Cam, the DP for this fucking movie, God. DP Uncut Gems.
Uncut Jams.
Uncut Jams. I was David Fincher's muse when he wrote Mindhunter.
I get to be the passenger goob. I ride shotgun on the goob squad. I somehow did not know how this movie ended. I didn't know what was in the box. And I thought it was really good, basically in every aspect, aside from I thought Brad Pitt was okay in the movie, and I did not like Gwyneth Paltrow really at all in the movie. I wish they would have maybe found somebody different. But other than that, the movie was rainy. It was creepy. Kevin Spacey plays an amazing creep. Method acting.
He's not really playing a creep. He is a creep.
And I will also give the movie a 9 out of 10.
Ew. Apparently Val Kilmer turned down the role of John Doe. What the fuck?
What the fuck?
Thank God.
I don't know. I actually feel like Val Kilmer is fucking terrific. And
Val Kilmer would have done great.
Phenomenal.
Because he's fucking crazy now.
Yeah. Dude, well, I fucking love Val Kilmer. If you don't like Val Kilmer as an actor and you haven't seen the movie Tombstone, we'll do that on the podcast, and you're going to be like, holy Val Kilmer is amazing, and he got robbed of an Oscar. I'll say it right now.
Academy is coming.
You heard it here first on this podcast. Val Kilmer was robbed for his Oscar in Tombstone. So, 7. I have seen this movie probably a couple of times. It is 100% my type of movie. It's the kind of crime thriller. It's kind of got mystery in it, and the fact that, and I will say the only like mystery movie thing that I feel like really kind of sells it for me is the fact that you actually have seen John Doe before the reveal, because you see him early on in the movie as the guy trying to like photograph the crime scene. So he kind of plays into the trope that they always return to the scene of the crime. So I guess in that sense, it kind of plays into that, like, oh, try to figure out who the killer is. But you actually have seen who the killer is. You don't really know a name. Going into it, I had it as a 9. I'm going to leave it there. Like I said, knowing the ending, I will say, watching this movie for the first time, the twist is one thing. After having seen it, it's not, it doesn't hit as hard. So I feel like it is something that it's definitely like the first time you watch, it's probably going to be the most impactful if you haven't been spoiled by it. But also the twist of like Brad Pitt not knowing, and that whole scene, like I said, just hit so much different now, which I've never wanted to be that person that's like, oh my god, having a child and it changes you, but that fucking scene hits so much harder.
It's gonna get real old.
It hits so much harder when that happens. So yeah, I give it a 9 out of 10. I think it's really well done. I think Morgan Freeman, yeah, I feel like people remember this movie for Brad Pitt's performance, but I feel like Morgan Freeman's better. Highly recommend it. It's probably up there as one of my favorite movies.
Going in, I gave this movie an 8 out of 10. It's really well done. But this is like the birth of Fincher's style. Honestly, movie-wise, I think this is my favorite David Fincher movie. I think this is miles ahead of Fight Club. I'm going to leave it at an 8 out of 10. I think it's really well done. There's moments that kind of lack for me. Like we said, the Brad Pitt in the car, Gwyneth Paltrow kind of ham-fisted into the movie, almost, I would say. Like, they literally just are kind of like bring her into scenes to basically build her into more of a character so then they can murder her at the end. Like, other than that, she literally has no point in the film. Like, there's one dinner scene, and then she talks to Morgan Freeman at a diner, and then it's like,
yeah, I mean, her entire point of the film is for, the end. That's it.
To get a haircut.
Emotional impact at the end of the movie.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think an 8 out of 10, it's really well done. It is my favorite Fincher, and I think people should watch it if you haven't. I should have said this at the front, but I feel like if you've made it this far, still check out the movie, even though we spoiled it. I hope you enjoy this episode. Don't forget to rate and subscribe. Check us out on Instagram, Cocktails and Classics Pod. Hit the show notes below, make yourself a death in the afternoon, and use the Drizzling Casker links to get you some alcohol delivered directly to your door, and we get a little kickback from that. Check us out next week as we watch Tombstone. And as always, don't forget to share with your friends and family and watch responsibly.